Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On tonight's episode of The Glue Guys, we're going to talk about why exactly the Nets lost Game 3 against the Milwaukee Bucks. Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall at TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. Brian.
Michael.
Different energy tonight. How are you, my friend?
You know.
Blessed be to you.
Blessed be. And blessed be to Luke Gray and everybody else in the chat. Blessed be. I confess to being slightly triggered on the heels of that game, Mike. I'm just going to come out and say it. Part of me's triggered, you know? And I think we're going to walk through the process, but like, what a weird and frustrating and awful, ultimately awful game that was. I mean, like, it was just such a, the term rock fight's been thrown around before, but this is the rock fightiest rock fight that I've seen of this Nets team. And I can't really account for any other reason other than just like shot doesn't go down. It's stupid. It's stupid and boring.
It's the Game 3 Blues. It's like, so the reason why, you know, I had talked to Alex Schiffer, Nets beat reporter for The Athletic. We were just slacking and we were like, what's going to happen for Game 3? And I like him and like many other people predicted that the Bucks would win. And I thought the Bucks would win because they'd have the energy from the home crowd and they're down 2-0. They're desperate. And that maybe the Nets were just like, they wouldn't be firing on all cylinders like they were on Games 1 and 2. And the Nets were not firing on all cylinders. Neither were the Bucks. Basically, it was just Chris Middleton and Giannis on offense. And then Brook was pretty impactful. He had some nice plays on defense. And that's kind of what is so painful about the loss. The Nets are still up 2-1, but this was a game that the Nets could have had, obviously. And if they go up 3-0, it's over. It's over, Brian.
You know what really triggered me ultimately? And this is the great offense that I took to this whole thing, which is at the end of the game, you know, the ESPN production scanning the crowd. And there's a guy, you know, he could be any guy, you know, but it's the same person you always see at any basketball game, just wearing no undershirt with a jersey. And he's waving goodbye to the Nets that they just eked out. They eked out a Game 3 win by the hair on their scrotes, Michael, that they needed to, in order for them to not clean house entirely, their entire upper management, and the guys waving goodbye to the Nets. Anyways, it's a detail that stuck out of me of just like how unfair how unfair everything is. No, it's not unfair. I mean, this no. it's yeah. fair. All's fair. But I am just like annoyed by how that game. Anyways, do you want to break down exactly like how that like that fourth quarter kind of sucked? Because here's my line of thinking. We're gonna have some. There's gonna be a little bit of riffraff. I can tell some people, especially some people in chat who are, you know, shout out to the YouTube live chat right now.
Get in the if you're listening to this as a podcast, we've been doing more and more of these post game. YouTube shows. You can find us on YouTube. Just go to our Twitter page right after the game. We'll tweet out a link. We'll tweet them out a couple of times during after the game. So if you want to be part of the party, jump in.
Yeah.
I read a book to my son called Strictly No Elephants, and it's a story about basically this kid has an elephant as a pet, and his friends who only have cats and dogs don't want him to bring the elephant to the party. He finds a new group of friends who have strange animal pets. We're like that. We're the strange animal pet post-game party.
Oh my god, Mike, wait. that's
I just read the book tonight. Yeah. That's why once you start the story, yeah. How do you get out of that?
It sounds like a banger. Sounds like an absolute banger.
You were saying you're triggered. There's gonna be some riffraff. There's some triggering.
Here's the take: is I didn't think that Bruce Brown made good decisions at the end of that game. I thought it was a little bit of a know thyself moment when he took those last two shots in crunch time. I know that everyone's going to hate me for this take. I get that. I am. I'm carrying my own cross to the wherever that happened. You know, the courtyard.
It's courtyard Marriott.
to the Hilton
Marriott bar.
Going to the Hilton. Just right.
Getting myself a terrible Long Island.
Pouring myself a Bombay straight. Here they come. Here they come with the hot takes. People are fired up. I'm getting bad takes all over the place. But look, I mean, Bruce Brown, those are shots where I was like, those are the kind of shots so they planned for Bruce Brown this entire game. That was the guy that they targeted. They had been slouching out off of him the entire game, daring him to do anything other than actually just shoot, like daring him to shoot floaters that are far enough that it's a bad percentage shot, because there's like a pretty clear delineation between a good Bruce Brown floater and a bad Bruce Brown floater, and he can get jebaited into bad floaters. And at the end of that game, it was two possessions in which back to back he took a crummy floater and then a full speed lefty layup against a way bigger Brook Lopez that was never going to work out, and he got jebaited into it.
So I'm gonna split those up. I'm going to split that like the atom. The first floater in that first shot, bad shot. Bad shot, Bruce. But also, it's not like I won't ever blame Bruce for making a bad play, because he is like a pit bull chained up, and you've let him loose in this game, and he's the reason why the Nets were so close in this game. And so he took you this far, and he had the momentum and the motion of it, and that first shot, I agree, not a good shot. The second shot was a good shot. Okay, he had a lane to drive. Kyrie gave him the pass. There was an open lane to go. That is a good shot. It just happened to not go in.
This is 5D chess. This is Brook Lopez's 5D chess. He traipsed right into his trap. You know, he set up a little trap for him.
Well, and like the interesting thing about Brook. So like, I now hate Brook Lopez, right? Like, of course. For years and years and years, we loved him. No. He was our
now he's the worst.
He loved Star Wars, and he was a nerd, and he played basketball. He was like a great character to have. Very nice guy. Now I hate him. I hate him to his core. Mm. I hate everything about him. He had more positive plays than negative plays. When there was a moment in the game when it looked like the Nets were about to play him off the floor, when Bruce Brown was floating him out there, floating him to death like a Cloud City in Empire Street. He was just floating him out there. No, but I don't blame Bruce Brown. Brown at all.
Isolating.
How dare you?
I'm not blaming him for the loss.
What can Brown do for Brian? Nothing.
I'm blaming his crunch time decision making, as you know, because it's the lowest hanging fruit of things I can blame people for in this very moment. I know that in the macro, he was a net massive benefit, and for most of the game, the only guy that was actually making any shots outside of Kevin Durant towards the end, who probably should have been taking those last two shots, I would say. But anyways, I mean, the game has a whole lot of issues all around, but like, I don't know, I guess the big question is, do we actually think that there was good defense, or like that the Bucks had done anything significant to make any of this happen, or did we it was just...
No, I mean... Okay, so there were differences. Like, P.J. Tucker came out on you know, like there was a stick of dynamite up his butt.
Yeah.
Like he was, even though he's only scored, he scored nothing. He didn't score a single point in the game. And eventually KD wore him down, and KD had that little stretch there at the end, which got me excited and thinking the Nets were always going to win. PJ Tucker did his job. Brook did his job more than he did in Brooklyn. But, and Brian, I teased this on Twitter, and it has to be said. If you want to blame Bruce Brown, you can. I dare not. I dare not, because Bruce...
You're painting me into a corner. I'm not blaming him for the entire loss.
Did. You just blamed him. I didn't paint you into a corner. You're Van Gogh over there painting yourself into a corner.
The last two possessions should not have... Thanks for the subscribe. I hooked up the stream lab so that now it makes a big noise when you subscribe. So we're going to get plenty of that good stuff on the YouTube.
Thanks.
I'm not saying that he ruined this game on the whole for us, Mike. Those last two possessions were critical, and he got jabated. I'm just saying that they had targeted Bruce Brown.
I think the record will show. Yeah. That you hate Bruce Brown.
The worst meme. Everyone does it. This Claxton meme of anyone being critical. I mean, you know, I love it. Obviously, it's a solid meme because it triggers me perfectly. But anyways, what were you
saying?
Here's
a meme. Yeah, on this meme.
You have a new meme. Wait, you have a Joe Harris meme that's a really authentic one.
So Joe Harris was awful. Straight up awful in this game. And we all love Joe Harris. Joe Harris was our original Nets crush, right?
Like shots fired like all over the place.
He was the guy that we all were like, wow, who's this nobody who starts hitting threes? Like he was like this undiscovered guy. And then we all had this evolution with Joe Harris of like, we all knew that he was more than just a three-point shooter because he was really good at driving to the rim at times. And then announcers would start saying, and it was like an inside joke on Nets Twitter. We all enjoyed that, the fact that we had this Joe Harris realization before anyone else did. He sucked tonight. He sucked. He was 1 for 11 from the field, 1 from 7 from 3. And so many of those shots were wide open shots. And I just want to have this moment here because I talked to you before when we were in our pre-show meeting.
Go off, King.
That it was like a Freaky Friday moment, as if he and Alan Crabb swapped souls. And Alan Crabb was transported into Joe Harris. And I know if the Nets still had Alan Crabb, and he had a 1 for 11 game, 1 from 7 for 3, and missed a critical shot, a wide open shot, at least one, if not two, if I remember correctly, at the end of the game, I would be roasting him. Nay, I would be soft shell frying him like the crab he is.
Nay.
And with Joe Harris, we don't do that, okay? And with Joe, this is the caveat. I have confidence that in game four, he's going to shoot like 4 for 7 from three. The Nets are going to win, and he's going to, you know, be that deadly force from three and the threat and all that stuff. Throughout the entire game, not just missing shots. He did nothing on defense. I think it has to be said. Like, there's other things we can point to.
No.
You know, Durant was, 2 for 9 to start the game. Kyrie had a nice stretch, but ultimately ends up being 2 for 8 from 3, 9 from 22 from the field. Though, like, I don't have any shade for Kyrie. I don't think you really can in this game. Durant should have been better. Blake didn't do really that much on the offensive end of the floor. Bruce Brown took ill-advised shots, maybe at the end of the game. But we have to, if we have to pin it on someone, the guy that was, it's, you know, I'm not going to bring in his salary. I'm not going to say he's getting paid $18 million a year, but the guy who's getting paid $18 million a year to hit threes.
Wow.
Didn't hit
threes.
There
it is. Went right to the salary. Hit him where it hurts.
And, I know. That's so cheap. Yeah. That's like 2005, like ESPN talk radio stuff. But it's just, he played bad. And what would be my coaching tip? Play better, shoot better. Like, I don't have, what's my, like, there's no Joe Harris tip. I will say on defense, though, he was bad too. And he didn't aggressively attack. He was on Middleton a lot of the game, and he kind of just let Middleton get his points. I don't know.
Yeah.
And our funny people in the chat, Chinny says it was DJ's fault, DeAndre Jordan's fault, $10 million on the bench.
True.
That
should be $10 million of auxiliary shooting to back up Joe Harris when he has his one bad playoff game in a, you know, every year. Yeah. Hey, good job, Mike. Did you get it off your chest?
I actually withheld some. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, because we also have the realization, right, that like all this is going to change in game four. Like, if he repeats the same performance in game four, it kind of goes into the narrative that Joe Harris isn't that great in the playoffs, because he hasn't, in fact, been all that great in the playoffs. This is a game when Durant was off, when Kyrie was in and out, when Bruce Brown was carrying the team. They needed Joe. If he hits one more three, I don't want to do math, but if he hits one more three, they win the game.
That's good. Only true of Joe. That's only true.
Well, he shot 1 for 7 from three and 1 for 11. Yeah. It is a bad Joe Harris game, and we don't like to point to Joe Harris. But
no, it was. It's true, and on the defensive side too. And I will say, like, the biggest frustration maybe of this game for me was that all in all, like, we did kind of waste a pretty good defensive night on the other side of the ball. Like, we, like, all of the things that had been working against Giannis et al. Was sort of working, but for, like, the Chris Middleton, who finally decided to, like, start making his stupid mid-range shots that we've already accounted for.
We're
like,
happy fine. Was Mike Breen for Chris Middleton?
They were,
have some objectivity, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, that whole panel we were talking about on the Twitch stream, shout out to the Twitch boys. They were that whole crew was just Knicks stands as far as the eye can see. So you already know what's going on there.
Yeah, that is, to me, that I said this in the beginning, the most painful thing. The Nets are up 2-1. You know, the Bucks, there's no way they could be coming out of this game like feeling ultra confident because they barely won. But if the Nets had won this game, as they should have, frankly, they should have won this game with the way it was going in the final minute, it's over. And you and I are popping champagne like we're, you know, on a campaign. Is that the
line? That is it. Yeah. Classic.
And we would be so elated, and we'd be talking about how great of a player Kevin Durant is because he hit, what did he score, like 7 points in a row when the Nets really needed it. He withstood the barrage that PJ Tucker brought at him. Can we talk about the PJ Tucker Kevin Durant fight for a minute?
I do want to. Ryan Newman says, when do we burn our Joe Harris jerseys? Mike, he's asking.
Tonight. Yeah. Everyone do it tonight.
are we going to the Gowanus
Canal and burn it?
Before we go PJ squabble, are we going too negative here? Did we come in a little bit?
This is the energy. Yeah. This is the post-game pod energy, bud. Right.
That's true. That is true. And I like when you call me bud. That's nice.
if we had been doing this tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., after, you know, we would just watch Kelly
up
and Ryan live with Kelly and Ryan.
My eyes are sealed shut with crust at 10 a.m., Mike.
You would have come. I know your take would have been not worried, right? Because you would have felt fine.
I would have processed
slept
it.
On it.
Yeah.
I would have been less worried, but I still would have been like, I don't know, it's just 2-1. Like, that's a, like 2-1 is way different than 2-0. It's obviously way different than 3-0 in the series. There's some momentum now with the Bucks, but this is the post-game pod energy.
Post-game podding, that's right. Fair enough.
And Joe Harris was 1 for 11 from
the field. PJ Tucker, how much do you want to bop him in the nose, Mike?
It got personal there, because if we can retrace the fight, so not the fight, the bumping of chess. Durant has the ball. He gets fouled by Tucker. Tucker starts saying something, I think, to the ref. Durant says something to Tucker, whatever it was, basically like that was, I'm sure it was like that was a foul or of course, whatever. I'm sure it was related to the play. Tucker turns around, starts saying something to Durant, and then he says something that infuriates Durant, that Durant shifted his body and went right at Tucker. And then, like inexplicably, I think a security guard who was working for the Milwaukee Bucks comes charging in and like body checks PJ Tucker. Mm-hmm. And then like Bucks assistant coaches were in and the Nets head of security was, it was like a weird, like, is this about to be
a security on security? Did they bring their entourage? Did the Nets bring their own security? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. There was a moment where whoever was talking to Durant is like one of the Nets security staffers. I believe it's his head of security.
Oh, wow.
If Net Income on @NetsDaily Twitter was tweeting, I think he was tweeting about that. So Durant is talking to one person, one security personnel, but Tucker just gets blocked by this big old security guard. And it was a very awkward, crazy moment. I honestly, I was like, oh shit, this is going to get ugly. And they're going to lose PJ Tucker and we're going to lose Kevin Durant. And then that's the scenario that we discussed, the Harden solid Giannis trade. Fight.
We'll take their defensive stopper out, Mike. Good trade.
So let's do this. We'll take a quick break just for the podcast. We will YouTube people who will be with us live. Come back. We'll have cooler heads. Heads will be cooled. And we'll talk more cold and analytically about Bucks, Nets, Game 3.
We'll meditate during the break, Mike.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I like Qui-Gon Jinn. As I was waiting for my battle to the death with Darth Maul, I just meditate.
You go Qui-Gon, huh? Not Qui-Gon?
Qui-Gon, is it Qui-Gon Jinn?
I think it's Qui-Gon. I think
apologies to all the Jinn family.
Yeah.
Who are still mourning his loss.
It's a big loss.
So we had talked about Bruce Brown. We talked about Joe Harris not playing well. If you could extrapolate though one big piece from this game, the reason why the Nets lost, the big reason, not just the moment, but the big reason why the Nets lose this game.
Well, so the only thing, I mean, obviously it's like this is a dumb low hanging fruit meme. It's that, you know, we weren't making shots, but if there's the only thing that I could like pick up on that really changed from their defensive schema, it's that they really, really, really let Bruce Brown run free for the first like half of that game for the most part and most of the second. Basically, whenever he was in, which is an interesting thing to do, because basically, like I was saying, they're trying to they're targeting him as like a weak link in terms of playmaking. It's maybe smart, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not quite sure yet. Bruce didn't know what to make of it. So you see in the first half of the first quarter, he's finding himself in no man's land, kind of the same way that Giannis is, except he doesn't have any of the same pressures as Giannis. So he's just like, okay, I guess I'll just like back it out and give it to Kyrie Irving. Like that's all I have to do to solve this riddle. He tries to probe a little bit, but like that, and in terms of like actual like macro schemas, that's really the only thing that I saw that was like wildly different from one game to the next. Is that enough to cause us to shoot like 25%? I don't know. I should have the numbers in front of me. They shoot so poorly. I don't think so. I don't think it has like that, a massive downstream effect like that. But that's the only change. I thought it was worth noting. I bet they do it again. I mean, Bruce Brown played a lot of minutes in this game too, which was interesting because like I guess Steve Nash and D'Antoni were like, all right, like we can, you know, if they're just going to slag off and like put like truly Brooke like right under the basket instead of guarding Bruce Brown, like – I guess we're okay with that because we'll just kind of keep it on the perimeter. They dared and dared and dared, and like we just never were making those perimeter shots. And so, like, you know, you win, I guess, you jerks.
Don't say we. It was yeah. Joe Harris.
yeah.
No, yeah, it was strange. It was like Bruce Brown's being put in the ball handler position more than like in games 2, 1, and 2, he was screener. He would get the ball in spots and then get it back to KD and Kyrie, where this game he was like, he had the ball in his hands for multiple seconds and having to make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like games 1 and 2 were much more, the game plan the Nets had was much more on point and they followed that game plan. I mean, I guess this would be, isn't this their best defensive game? I forget what exactly game 2 was like in terms of before all the starters got pulled. But, you know, the Nets did really well defensively. Offensively, it was just too much like, it felt like Boston. It felt like moments in that Boston series were like, there was no pressure on the Nets. They kind of like were exhibiting the fact that they felt like this series was over in some way. It felt more of like this back-to-back. The Nets played on Tuesday night. Now it's Wednesday night, and they're playing against the Milwaukee Bucks. And Durant is sort of just like trying to muster the energy to play in this game. Because he really fully wasn't engaged early on in the game.
Oh, we're going with a not engaged.
Well, I'm not even like, obviously he's incredible. And like, he had an amazing second half, and he nearly won the game for the Nets almost by himself by the end of that game. But like the entire team, and he's more a microcosm of the entire team, except for Bruce Brown in that first half, they didn't have the vibe of like, we're going to put our foot on the Bucks' throats and we're going to end them now. So that, you know, sure, they may win game four, but then we'll go home and win in game five, which still may happen. The Nets may win in game four. But, like, the energy really wasn't there. The offense was more stagnant. But I am interested in one thing. And Seth Partnow from The Athletic, who used to be the director of analytics for the Milwaukee Bucks, very recently was, so he knows what he's talking about. He does really good stats. He puts out really good numbers. And I want to see what the Nets' expected field goal percentage was off the shots that they took. Meaning that it felt like the Nets were still getting pretty good shots, particularly Joe Harris. But even there were moments where, like, KD would miss an open jumper. Kyrie, really, every shot Kyrie took was just contested to the core. But everyone, I felt like everyone else but Kyrie had more open looks and they missed them than, you know, then in a game that would, well, how many points did the Nets score? 83 or 84 in this game? Some disgusting mid-80s number.
Yeah.
Some dumb. Let's remove it from the
get it out of here.
Numerical
disgusting
alphabet
number.
I just think overall
Roman numerals. Yeah.
It's not a trap game, but it was just a game where like the Nets didn't fully have it. And then they made dumb decisions. You know, there was just dumb decisions. I mean, that like the fact that the Bruce Brown miss at the end, which I think was a good shot, it was a layup attempt. It was a bad, disgusting play.
Wait, hold on. What are we talking about? That's my whole deal. It wasn't a
no. It's a good. I'm saying it's a good shot. Are you?
It's a good shot, but it's a bad play.
No, yeah, the play itself was horrible. The inbounds play. Yeah, Brian, the inbounds play. They threw the ball and it dribbled in the middle of the floor.
Oh, that
Bruce Brown is like blocking that whoever was on Kyrie, so Kyrie could pick up the ball, and then Kyrie gets trapped on the sidelines. Kyrie makes a good pass to Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown saved the play, frankly, by driving to the hole. He was the only good part of the entire play. And that's a moment in the game when you really need a good out of timeout, after timeout, an ATO. That's where you need to show the wizardry that is Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni. It was a disgusting design out of the timeout.
I mean, the ball squirted out, and like I get it, like Bruce Brown, it needs to do something.
That was horrible. How could you don't defend that? That's disgusting.
Well, I mean, like the fact that the ball just like farted out. Like, I mean, that's clearly not part of the play, right? I mean, like that was, you know, an accident.
Yeah, but that shows an inferior play. If that's what is the result of the pass, is that that's a bad play?
I guess, sure. Like, if a bad outcome.
How are you not understanding? I'm actually shocked. Like,
no, I mean,
do
like
you know
you're
that
saying
they run plays out of timeouts.
Well, here's
you
here's,
know that like an inbound, it's called an inbound play.
Yeah,
do
I'm
you
with
know
you.
That?
I'm with you. So, like, but you're the philosophically speaking, you're saying if a bad outcome happens, then it's a bad like decision from the top down. Because like the play could be, I mean, I'd have to go back and watch if it was just like a really bad inbounds play. But like, I just remember
that is what I'm saying.
I get it. But like, the part of it where like it slips out of his hand, like ends up in Bruce Brown's hands. Like, I get it. That's, you know, that's you're dealing with a broken play now at this point. And yet still Bruce Brown shouldn't be taking a full speed lefty layup against Brook Lopez.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that the design of the out of the timeout after the ATO, I don't know why I know it's after the timeout. I like out of the timeout. That's the way I like to describe it. I mean, it's obviously a poorly designed ATO, if how the ATO is put into play is, who was it? Blake Griffin was throwing the pass, dribbling the ball into the middle of the floor, hoping that Bruce Brown would scoop it up, or it ended up being Kyrie Irving. Bad play.
Bad play. Yeah, and maybe a bad shot. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll watch it back.
And I'm fine accepting people thinking it's a bad shot. Like, I understand fully. Some people think it. I think it was. I mean, I think if you take a layup, it's a layup. You know, I think you have a layup, even if it's against a seven-footer. Though the refs in this game, I got to say, this is not a ref bashing segment. Inconsistencies. The Giannis 10-second thing is just insane at this point. Can we touch on the fact? So they call it. They call it at, like, on his like fifth free throw or whatever it was. Every free throw is over 10 seconds. So, like, I know that the message is, like, we'll do it in the second quarter to kind of warn you, speed up your act. But the, like, if you're going to do it at all, do it every damn time.
Mm, mm.
It's just everything is 14, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I think
it's
also
longer than a Quibi show.
It's
shout out Quibi.
Shout out to Quibi. It is also probably bad for his bone crushing anxiety panic attack that he's having at the line that you can obviously feel him going through every time he's there. Like, wouldn't you want to get through that faster? I mean, maybe he thinks that, like, if I spend time in this tunnel vision wormhole that I'm in, like, I can break myself out of it. Clearly he can't, because, like, one out of every four is an air ball at this point. Just get that up in 5 seconds. I think you'll feel better ultimately. I think you just get more rhythm going, and you won't have those moments of panic that we're all feeling for you at this point.
It really can't help him. Like, it the amount of time at the free throw line, it, like, I would like to see, as you're describing, like, if he just speeds it up, like, what would be the result? Because it can't be worse than what actually happens, which is airballing it at times. And there was a, I don't know if you saw this, but they showed this, like, coming back from commercial, that Giannis is at the line coming back from commercial, and, like, he got the ball from the refs while he was standing at the free throw line waiting for everyone to get there, and he just started taking practice free throws. And it's like, what's going on with this guy? Yeah. You're just giving him,
hey,
come on, this isn't an eighth grade basketball game.
What is this, AAU? Hey,
come on. Come on, this is a professional playoff game. Don't give this guy an advantage, a chance to just start practicing his free throws before he shoots them. That's insane.
Yeah.
The league is in the tank for Milwaukee, Brian, and no one wants to say it but us. But the league is in the tank for Milwaukee. They want to see the Milwaukee Bucks in the finals over the Nets. Because who would want to see the Nets in the finals? Exactly.
Nick Chaplin in the chat is remarking on,
yes,
Giannis insignificant tonight. Chris Middleton is waking up. Mike, do you think that we have the Nets have a Chris Middleton, aka Chris Middleditch, problem going forward?
I don't think the Nets do have a big problem.
Mm.
But tonight was the game where, like, by the end of the game, it was like, deny Middleton the ball. Don't let him get the ball.
I mean, because he was the crunch time scorer that they deferred to him big time.
But I don't think I still won't escalate it. You talked about the threat level. This isn't still threat level midnight.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton. Because, like, it's still, even though he was really good in this game, there were still also moments when, like, he blew it, or, like, he had a couple blown layups or whatever it was. I'm not fully afraid of Chris Middleton being awoken out of his slumber.
The Kraken?
He's not quite Kraken for me.
Nice.
But you know what's so strange about the Bucks is that, like, so Middleton has a great game. Giannis has if you just look at the numbers, like, an amazing game. But watching it, he's just so limited in so many aspects of the game. And he's so incredible in other ones. Like, he took horrible three-point shots, horrible from the free throw line. But what did he have, like, 35, 15, and whatever? Yeah, exactly. It's the game in perspective is that the Nets had a chance to win a game on the road in the playoffs against a desperate team that neither team was really hitting shots. The Nets had a chance to win the game and probably should have won the game. And the Nets really just weren't. There was no one on the team outside of Bruce Brown, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant that really contributed anything on the offensive end of the floor. Blake Griffin and Joe Harris combined for 8 points. The bench combined for 7 points. And, you know, like Mike James was 1 for 5 from the field. Like a, what you expect from Mike James. Landry Shamet really didn't, he only scored 3 points, but he didn't do anything at all.
But the one that he made too, I thought it was like, oh, okay, Landry, is this going to be a Landry Shamet game? I will say, I don't want to drag Blake, I mean, just because of his numbers too much. Because I think he played pretty great on Giannis.
Yeah, and he's, even though Giannis had great numbers, like Blake is doing so much to contain it as much as he can, more so than anyone else could on this team, that it is like, how could you criticize Blake Griffin? I do want to say Nick Claxton, like on defense, is pretty amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like he really does give Giannis problems. When he switches on to whoever he switches on to after Giannis, like he would give that player problems. He only scored 2 points himself. But defensively, I thought he was pretty incredible on Giannis. And so it's like, I don't know. This game is like, I think if we do it, if we did a pod tomorrow, there would be a sense of like, maybe we should just, you know.
You want to do a chill vibes pod tomorrow?
I can't, but it's.
Okay. I'll do it. I'll take it over.
Yeah, you can do, you can just do the show by yourself.
Yeah.
I beyond that, it's like, I think let's ask this question going forward.
Okay.
Does this change your perception of the theory of the series?
Put it to chat. Does it change your? Does anyone's perceptions change it? I'll answer it for myself. I don't think so. I think that I hate to say it because it's just so boring and lame, but like we just didn't. They dared us to shoot perimeter shots all game, and we just like didn't hit them. It's just that stupid and basic and not cool to talk about, you know. And that's basically what happened. So, I don't suspect that'll happen forever. I kind of like put in the like a YouTube comment to one of the people who are like a super Bucks fan, like talking mad doo-doo on some of our takes from like from before the series started, and I was like, I actually think that the Bucks are probably going to sneak away with Game 3. Like if I was a betting man, I would put it on there just to extend the olive branch, because we, you know, he had come back with hat in hand after Game 2 and was like, dude, the Nets are the better team, you were right, which is, you know, it was a real gesture of faith, and it restored my faith in humanity to a certain extent. But anyways, and so if I was a betting man, I would say that this is probably, you know, there had to be somewhat of a regression to the mean here shooting wise. We'd been pretty toasty, pretty hot from the field first two games, Mike. Yes. So, you know, it's a lot to expect Joe Harris to shoot like, you know, 50% every game, Mike. You know, we can't always expect it. He's going to have some off nights, and it just happened to be the night where everybody else was off as well. So great, Joe.
I don't accept it.
So
because part of why I don't accept it is because the Bucks did nothing special on Joe Harris tonight. It wasn't like they were like, we're going to lock down Joe Harris. I thought Joe Harris had open shots and he didn't hit them. And like, how can I criticize a guy for not hitting shots? But also there were beyond like his inability to actually make the shots that he should be making. Like sometimes there's games when like he has a lot of energy and he does the fist pump and he's scrapping and he's out there defensively. And even though he may not be an amazing defender, he has like sort of, he has a bigger body and he could do what he tries to do what he can do on the defensive end of the floor. He didn't really do that. Like he wasn't even, I didn't feel like I'm not good shooting the ball tonight. I'm going to try to do other things on the floor to compensate for my lack of shooting.
Yeah.
It kind of felt there was a complacency that I don't like to see out of Art Joseph.
Wow, okay? There it is. I will say also...
I take it personally, actually.
Little criticism that I have, just one tiny criticism, is when he's trying to when he's trying to get out of his slumps, he goes for these really rinky-dink mid-rangers, which is like, why? That's a shot you never take. I've never seen you do that. Like, why are you all of a sudden trying to like be like, that's how I'm going to break out of this rut? Like, just go do your thing. Do the thing you always do. I'm sure you'll be fine. But he kept shooting from like the weirdest spots on the floor all night.
I think we should end the pod soon.
Okay, yeah, let's end the pod and then kick it to the chat.
But let me ask you this. So, I save this for the very end. Did you notice how James Harden was moving on the sidelines? Did you notice that?
Well, there's some people in the chat who are saying they're really hoping for Harden in game four here because they don't believe us that this is just regression to the mean and that we've got big Bucks-related problems here. So chat, like Nick Chaplin's, he's very horny to see Harden in – he's horny for Harden game four, Mike. Who isn't, right? But, you know, do we need him, Mike, is the question to get out of the series.
Wow, do we need him? I don't think the Nets do. But if the Nets had him tonight, this is like the perfect Harden game because I think the Nets shot 9 free throws tonight. If Harden's playing, you know, he gets maybe he gets 9 by himself. The Nets are I don't know if they are exactly statistically the best free throw shooting team, but I would imagine that they are pretty close considering Harden, KD, Kyrie, and Joe Harris are all fantastic free throw shooters. Do they need him? Probably not, because they should have won tonight. They should have won tonight even without him. But to me, you don't fuck around.
Whoa.
In the playoffs. Whoa. If Harden's healthy enough to play, whoa. And I'm not even like, I'm saying like, let's say it's like he's like 75% of himself, and they feel pretty good that the re-injury factor won't get any better or any worse. Like it is what it is. Like, you play basketball. Because if they lose game four and it's 2-2, goes back to Brooklyn, God forbid something bad happens to Kyrie or KD in game five, you know, or even if it's just a minor injury, they lose, you know, like, there's all these scenarios that can happen. If, and Jeff Green said it best, okay? Jeff Green hasn't practiced with the team yet. And he says, if I can practice, I can play. Okay, so if Harden has any ability to get on the floor and play, I want him to play, right? Like, if they were up 3-0, then yeah, you say, James, fly to, what would be the next city? Philadelphia.
11,
fly to Philadelphia
11,
right now.
Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stay, yeah, fly to Miami, rest up, heal up.
Yeah, that's where he Harden. Goes to do his, that's his hyperbolic chamber.
But if he's healthy and he's ready to roll, I don't think he's going to play game four, though. I would think it's game five still. I still, like, if it's the earliest, I still think it's game five. Not based on any facts, just that, just like a sense of injury.
All right, Mike, get us out of here.
Thank you so much for listening. We are the Glue Guys. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and all the places you can listen to podcasts. We are also on YouTube. As you heard, we reference our YouTube crowd that is in the chat. You can watch us on YouTube.
Shout out to the Discord. That's a shout out. That's how you do a shout out, Mike.
And Brian also does some dirty streaming.
I do. I stream dirtily on Twitch. And shout out to the Discord. Link in the Twitter bio and also in the YouTube description down below. And smash the subscribe. Smush the follow. Mike, let's get out of here. 5 stars. We want them. We need them. I'm not ready to you know, get all down in the dumps yet, Mike. We're going to go in there and get that game four win. We're going to take down. Yeah! Howard Dean. Howard Dean finale. Thanks, everybody.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.